Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
To add to the long list of countries condemning Israel's action that we reported on just 2 days ago, now more than 100 international aid organisations and human rights groups are warning of mass starvation in Gaza and pressing for governments to take action. As the humanitarian crisis there deepens, Israel has rejected the organisation's warning and accused them of serving the propaganda of Hamas. With an update on the current situation in Gaza, I'm joined by Orly Halpern, freelance journalist based in Jerusalem. Orly, thank you very much for taking our call this morning. What is the latest on the number of food trucks getting into Gaza as you understand it?
Well, what I know is that the number is far less than what it's supposed to be and what the Palestinians need. The number changes from day to day according to how the Israelis are, whether they're feeling more pressure from the outside or not. And right now, though, the numbers are so small that it doesn't make much difference. It's just a drop in the bucket for what the Palestinians in Gaza need. Moreover, there are looters which have reportedly been organized by the Israelis and supported by the Israelis to actually loot trucks, like criminal gangs. So what doesn't go in through what they call themselves the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the GHF, and goes in through the north of Gaza, what goes in through the north is often looted. So it's just not getting to the people. People are literally starving and children are dying daily.
What justification is Israel providing for restricting the flow of this aid?
Israel says that Hamas steals it all. All of it is stolen by Hamas and it doesn't get to the people. So there's no reason for Israel to send it in. It seems to me that Israel is really feeling more pressure from the international arena over the starvation because people are literally dying and that is getting out. Because what it did yesterday was that it released some video which it claimed was Hamas people in an underground tunnel, and it showed them they were eating fruit and they had cooked food. And Hamas and Israel said that this was Hamas. You see, they steal food and they let their people starve. Now, I tried to identify, see if I could find that video anywhere else on the internet, and I could not. I don't know the veracity of that video, but Israel is definitely feeling the pressure.
If they are feeling the pressure, if they are sensitive to this criticism, is that feeding into the talks in Qatar and the possibility of a breakthrough there?
Right now, we have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's key mediator, negotiator, Ron Dermer, in Paris. He's there for discussions about the Iran nuclear deal, but he's right now on standby because if there is any progress, Hamas last night gave back its response to the deal that was offered. And now he's on standby because if, from the point of view of Israel, which is the government, if the gap was closed enough that they can go further, then Steve Witkoff, who is also in Paris right now, will meet with Dermer and they will go forward with that. But right now, the Israelis are looking at it and checking whether, from their point of view, they can move forward with what Hamas responded to the deal. Mm-hmm. I do think that the pressure now is higher than it has been in the past. And Israel does feel the pressure.
Meanwhile, throughout this phase of the conflict, Benjamin Netanyahu has been given evidence and cross-examined in his own corruption trial, which is something that has kind of fallen from view or does not get reported that widely. How important, how crucial is that and his personal political survival to the chance of a breakthrough in these talks or, alternatively, the perpetuation of this conflict, do you think, Orly?
I think you raised a really good point because the threat for him, he has two members of his coalition, two key parties led by Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. Those are the two extremists of the government coalition. And they have said clearly, if he makes a deal, they're out of there. Now, if they're out of there, the government falls. But he also faces, you know, at the same time, this trial. And he did not want to be dealing with this. He was able to keep pushing it off and only showing up periodically. And now, very shortly, the courts and the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, are going out for recess for a few months. Starting Sunday, there will be no more Knesset for 3 months. So you can't bring down the government in that period. And even if those parties say, oh, we don't agree to this deal, the government will not fall. So it is more of a possibility that an agreement will be made. There won't be any more pressure on him from this court case, which could be, you know, leading to his own even imprisonment. That won't happen. Everything will be shortly on hold, and he can move forward with a deal if he sees fit.
It is possible, though, to construct a totally different or counter narrative around that and say that a man who is needs to play for time in order to assure his own political survival would seek to push off any possibility of a deal in the next month while courts and parliament are in recess. No?
Well, the deal that Israel is again negotiating for, remember that the key difference between the two sides, not, you know, the, how many trucks are going to go in and where they're going to distribute. But the key difference between the two sides is over whether the war will end or not. And Israel has said, we want it to be in two phases. The first phase, you release more hostages. And then the second phase, we'll see, which is what happened last time. Okay. So he can always go back to war after the first phase.
Always go back to war. Orly Halperin, thank you very much. I need to take my final break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.